to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
5:32. So I think, while we're waiting for Joe and, although Amanda's listening, we'll let Tim have the floor in.
Well, first of all, I just want to open up. I wasn't here last month. I know that our controller was there. And I took my son to a doctor's appointment in Massachusetts, so I wasn't able to make it. Can you hear me okay, Manna?
Manna? Can you hear us? She may have her phone muted.
Are you on mute?
Can you
hold me? Are you asking if I'm on mute?
Yes, yes, I just wondered if you could hear us.
Okay, I can hear you. I can't necessarily hear everyone, but I will put my phone on mute just so that I don't disturb you guys.
Okay, we'll try to put the phone near the person speaking.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Manna, can you hear me?
If she muted it, she can't answer.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that. I apologize. So I couldn't make last month's meeting. I know our controller was here. Is there any questions that he didn't answer that I can answer? I guess I'll start off with that. Everything was okay?
There was one thing, right, he was going to get back to us on?
Yeah, and we got the multi-year thing. I mean, I think that if I could relate a couple of the issues that were raised. One is wanting to see, at least from this committee, wanting to relay to the board the desire to see more money and more funding go into education, especially in this critical time as things are changing. And then the other issue that came up, which wasn't so budget related, but I'm just going to bring it up because it came up. Laura said that she had received, and I've since spoken to my recycling coordinator in my town, a directive from the agency pulling certain plastics from the recycle stream. Black plastics, clamshells. She went through a list and she had some examples with her. And so that, of course, forced a conversation about the absence and the fact that there is right now no recycling oversight committee seated that would have to weigh in on such a removal, because the agency would have to request the removal and send that over to the board. But right now there is no committee that's seated.
First of all, we've never accepted those items. As long as I've been there, we've never accepted them. The clamshells we've never accepted. Black plastics we've never accepted. Matter of fact, if they get thrown in, they could reject loads and we won't be able to move material
anymore.
So
maybe we all need a bit of education. What's the reason for not accepting, for example, the clamshells?
The clamshells, in order to accept those, the only facilities that can do that is with optical eye sorters. Mm-hmm. That when the machines are moving the material very quickly, the optical eye sorter can tell what clamshells are,
what number
they are, and blow air out and shoot them out. If I had to do that, I'd have to stop the line, go through and hand pick them out and fold them and look at the number on the bottom to see if it's useful. Now, if any of these accidentally get into some of our plastic bins, and they get sent out. Right now, they're rejecting everything.
Wow.
So if it's more than 0.5%, and the Chinese inspectors are going in and they're doing bail breaks, and they pull it out and they see these clamshells in there, we're not taking any of it, and they walk out.
So
they're not messing up your whole thing, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I think that forces we're back to the education component, which is going to require more than just outreach and more than outreach at the transfer station sites. I think it's going to require a broader kind of
outreach. Don't confuse it with haulers either.
I'm not talking about haulers right now. I'm just talking about the transfer stations.
Okay.
The haulers, that's a different story.
That's a totally different story because they have different equipment. So.
But then I think, moving forward, I definitely would like to have a conversation about how we... You know, for example, is there a market for these things if they were clearly separated?
For the most part, no.
Tim, what distinguishes these from other?
And right now, there's a lot of confusion in the state, statewide, about this. I just attended a meeting that the commissioner of DEC was at, as well as some deputy commissioners, and there was probably 80 of us or so that were selected to go up and meet with them about all these issues going on. Mm-hmm. I have several more meetings coming up. I know I've got to be in Syracuse in a couple of weeks for another one. They want to limit that down to 20 or 30 people. They asked me to go up and talk about markets and where we can market these things, because it's becoming so restrictive.
Right.
And it's clamping down, and especially it's hitting states like New York. And it's hitting states like New York is because we don't have any manufacturing here, virtually. Mm-hmm. So everything, we rely heavily on exports. And so it's even that much more important. And one of the things that came up was trying to standardize what can be recycled in New York State, what can't.
Right.
And come up with a standard list.
Which would maybe, backwards affect what people are actually using if they knew it could be recycled versus knowing for sure it's not that it can't, but that in the current environment that it's not.
And remember, when you say recycled, these things can be recycled.
Yes.
But is there a market?
Right.
And if there's no market, it's useless. It just sits there, and then what are you going to do with it? You know, like if I couldn't find a market for these, it would just use up space in my warehouse, and I'd have to shut down, because if you can't move it, you can't move it.
Is that how? So, since there's a law on recycling, does that exclude things that you can't?
Not right now, no. It said plastics, including number, and went through the numbers. So those are technically regulated.
The other alternative is collect them and then shut the MRF down.
Right.
If nobody will come to pick it up from me.
Right.
If you call all these brokers, none of them want it, you know, and that's the reality of the markets. If they don't want it, or if it gets into loads that it contaminates,
right?
Then mm-hmm. they're shut down. You know, right now, the city of New York is a dual stream, mm-hmm. Westchester's dual stream, Rockland's dual stream, we're dual stream. We're not having problems moving the dual stream, and that came out in the meetings up in Albany. The dual stream people, and much to my. I don't want to say this.
Pleasure.
That's a good way of saying it. They would say in the meetings, the dual stream people, that if there's any out there, and I raised my hand, I said, you guys didn't drink the lemonade. You guys didn't go with the single stream. You guys stayed Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid. Yeah, that's right. You guys stayed dual stream. City of New York stayed dual stream. So did Rockland and Westchester. They looked at it a while ago. They looked at changing over to single, and they decided it wasn't a good idea. We're not having problems. I'm still moving the material because our material is so contamination free.
Except it does have a lot of that in it. So
we have to pull that out. If that stuff comes into the MRF, I have to hand pick it out and throw it out. Wow. If it does come in, and a lot of it does come in, because people don't know.
So you get a whole can from me every week.
Yeah, believe me. And believe me, when I say a lot of the clamshells come in. You know, I remember when I first started at the RRA, my first day, I went up on the recycle line, and at that time, the executive director of the clamshell came through, and he said, these things are no good. Can't get rid of these, and they contaminate. And even that was 10 years ago.
I need to know, what materially distinguishes this from other plastics, though, that there's no market for it? Why?
Yeah, I'm not understanding it either.
Like, look for the little triangles on the bottom. I'm asking, what
materially about these plastics makes them that...
It's a different type of plastic. So for instance, like the black plastic, that's... an absolute no-no, and I don't care where you go. But when they melt that down, they try to form it into new products. That dye in there contaminates everything. You can't make a white container out of that anymore, because of the black. It's the dye.
What are you saying? Nobody on
stay black.
What about other colors? You know, green plastic and.
Yeah, and it all depends on the type of plastic it is, and there's a whole array. Mm-hmm. And then you have to look at too, when they were talking about markets in New York and trying to standardize the recycling throughout the whole state. All right, that's a nice concept. However, you got to understand how far were they away from the ports, okay? You really have to understand the markets. So if you're going to standardize this and say, well, you're going to have to recycle this, the people that live up in Watertown, okay, if they have to get those materials down to New York City to a port, when you start adding in the trucking, try to find a broker that's going to do it. Because there has to be an economic incentive there. If there isn't, it collapses, right? So
it just seems that there should be. We pay to take stuff to a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we should at least have to pay less to take this to a landfill, or that we should create some kind of landfill that you stack billions of this very lightweight stuff that is actually recyclable. If you had somebody who wanted to. Who had a mechanism to use that. So it, just putting it in with a landfill seems like it's not forward-looking enough, maybe. And I can understand there's no broker for it, so we don't want to take it because it's going to cost us money. But if it costs us less money than landfill, then we're still making a little money.
Well, let me put it this way. A gentleman stood up at the meeting from St. Lawrence County. You know where St. Lawrence County is, a border town? And he said directly to the DEC, it cost me $48 a ton to get rid of garbage. It's costing me $150 a ton to get rid of recycling. Three times as much. It's destroyed my budget. And others around the room said, our budgets were, our municipal budgets were eaten up by May. They're done.
And that's also got to do with the volume of it, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Because it's light, so it, a lot is going to go into a pan.
So that's how much they're paying to get rid of the recycling, three times as much as it does for their trash.
And they can't send it to the trash places?
The DEC won't allow it. They won't issue any waivers. Now, they're issuing waivers in Massachusetts. They are doing it there because they can't move the product. I mean, when you think of it, if you create a product that no one wants, once I bail it, and this is the realities that I have to deal with, and you have to understand that, that when I make a bail and it sits there on my floor and I'm calling around to try to get rid of it and no one wants it, what am I going to do with it? You know, there's the markets aren't there. And when a third of the world's recycling goes to one country and they shut the door, I mean, and you think we don't even have it that bad. You look at Australia, Australia's got it twice as bad as we do. They've got bales sitting out in parking lots, right, that are just sitting there, and no one wants it. No one can move the product. They're trying to ship as much as they can to Indonesia, to Vietnam, to India, but they can't handle it. By the third week of the month or so, they're done. They can't handle the volume. So,
how much is this associated with the economic downturn in China, though, that's been going on for the last 8 months?
In my opinion, zero.
And why would that be?
I'll tell you why. This is not an economic driven. This is environmentally driven. And that's why this is going to be here to stay, by the way. This is not going anywhere. Matter of fact, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse in, you know what? It's going to get worse in 2021, 2022. China's not going to accept any recycling at all. Zero. So you got to be able to find markets. Something that DEC said.
Manna, can you mute again? Manna? Can you put us on mute? Because we're hearing ourselves on your phone.
I love my Manna. should we just shut it off? You? Yeah, we should maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't know we can hear her, so. Yeah.
She's not listening.
She'll just call us back, right.
What was I going to say?
The reason that China's going to stop completely in 2021.
They're going through an environmental awakening, right? So they're going through an environmental awakening. And it's funny, I was talking to somebody recently who was just over in China, and he talked about this because he attended a seminar over there. But they're going through an environmental awakening right now, which is what we did in the 60s, right, in the 70s. So they're going through that process right now. With the amount of air pollution they're dealing with the water pollution they're dealing with, this is one more thing that they're dealing with the amount of contamination that we're sending over there. Even when it's 2 or 3% a bale, that was enough because they have to extract it, and all that material has to end up in one of their landfills or in one of their waste energy plants. So now they've limited it to 0.5%, which 0.5% is a really hard target to hit. If you're in a single stream facility, it's almost impossible. If you're in a dual stream facility, you can attain that. You can get it. But there's single stream plants that are, believe it or not, and I just heard this, I was just at a conference in Lake Placid on Monday and Tuesday this week, and a guy I was talking to who runs MRFs all throughout the Northeast. All right, he just doesn't run one. But he says he sees communities 30, 40%, 50% of the recycling that comes in is garbage.
Now, can I just ask a question, speaking of recycling and rates? Of all the recycling that's collected in Ulster County, countywide, do you have an estimate of what percentage of that goes to the RRA?
I could find out. It's a small number, though. We don't get
small number, right? So the reality is that single stream recycling will probably be the most common method of recycling in Ulster County, even after you've changed your policy. Correct?
Yes. Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. That I can tell you.
But they're losing their market, so they're going to have to make changes too.
There's places around the state that are going back to dual stream, but around the nation,
they're going. But back just to, the continuation when this occurs in 2019.
But remember,
the majority of recycling collected at Ulster County will be done through a single stream method, correct?
It's being done now.
And that's likely to continue in 2019, 3 months from now.
Yeah, but we don't get a lot of the single stream, because you understand. Mm-hmm. It's funny when I go to these conferences and I tell people that we take single stream and we have a dual stream MRF. No one's ever heard of that. Mm-hmm. That's for professionals that've been in the business for 30 years. So it's a strange concept, and because they're thinking, how do you accept single stream in a? How do you accept single stream in a dual stream MRF? You know, no one's ever heard of that. It's a really strange concept. Like if you go to Westchester County and you say, I've got single stream and I want to bring it to the MRF, they're going to say, go find a single stream MRF. You know, we can't process that. The only thing that we're doing is, all we're doing is taking it from a little truck and putting it on a big truck.
I know that.
And that's all we're doing when it comes to the single stream. We're just a transfer point to send it down to Beacon. So we're going to stay with the dual stream. We believe in it environmentally. I know the board does. And I know there's a lot of the environmental community that's backing this, you know, statewide and in other states as well, because they see the benefits of the dual stream. And you see, when you actually seeing all that paper and all that contamination
separated,
and it's full of crap, you know, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, with the spaghetti sauce and broken glass in it, and it's a disaster. It really is a disaster. And by the way, you know who pushed this? I don't know if you know the history behind single stream, but it was the haulers that pushed this.
Yeah, of course.
They're the ones that pushed it, and they pushed it to save money on the street. That was the sole reason. So don't let anybody, you know, try to sway your opinion on that, and that's mm-hmm. the truth. The haulers pushed it because they could take some people out of the trucks, mm-hmm. save money in the trucks. It wasn't about what the end product looked like or the recycling mm-hmm. looked like.
Or the volumes.
The markets, or the volumes.
Yeah,
it was all about, you know, I listened to a speaker on Tuesday morning talking about, well, you know, a lot of people say, you know, the single stream boosts up better recycling rates. And he goes, I'm telling you what's happening in the whole Northeast. That's a fallacy. It does boost it up a little bit by the time, but when you look at it holistically, at the end product, so much of it's ending up in the landfill that you're losing. You're losing on that because they can't take the contamination.
Thoughts. I mean, the first thing is, I hope in these conferences, and thank you for sending along the possibility of some of those conferences, the one in Cooperstown and the other one.
Yes.
You know, I do want to go at some point.
I'm
hoping that as you're having these conversations at the state level about products like this that need to be pulled from the stream because there is no market, that there's some discussion. And I don't know how it begins, but if as a statewide community, we say there is nothing to do with this, then put it in the garbage, then I think we need to start thinking about regulating the products at the mm-hmm. at the front end to say, then these are not allowed. You are not allowed to have them. Pick something else. That's the first thing. And the second thing, and I just looked it up while we were talking, I don't know if everybody saw, but I'll send the link, the 60 Minutes that was about the sea of plastic waste. As part of that piece, they interviewed this guy, Sunil Bagaria. I don't know if you've come across him in your work. So he runs this company called GDB Waste or GDB something, and it's in New Jersey. I think it's based in New Brunswick. And it was a really interesting piece because he began by talking about exactly what you're saying, the markets and the contamination and the change, and he realized how much he was spending bailing to ship. And he transformed the bulk, and it got me thinking about things Manna's been saying. He transformed the bulk of his facilities to actually create the end product. So he is taking in the plastics, stripping them down, creating them into pellets, and selling the pellets in the U.S. market for another product. Which I want to go see this facility. I mean, it's just in New Jersey. We could all drive there together. I mean,
that was on Sunday morning.
It was a bit ago, but that's the kind. I think we have to start having these kinds of conversations about the full life of something and starting to get tough because, as you say, the problem's just going to get worse and worse. And you know, I'm standing here. You've heard from three legislators at the table all telling you we're contributing to your problem and we're the most educated.
Yeah.
And it's like I stand there with my recycling guy in Gardner, and I'm like, why are you not taking this? I don't understand. Even though I'm at the table with you, how many? It's just so frustrating to me. And so I do think that we have to have a full life cycle conversation, and it has to be bigger than this table. It has to be at the state. And if you can help us, because you got a lot of advocates here, if you could help us to focus where we advocate for these things in a fierce way, I'm ready to start doing that.
That's great.
Yeah, because we've got to do something, and we together can be a really loud voice, beginning a discussion about that. It's about new manufacturing in New York, but it's also about the life cycle of products that, if you say we can't do anything with that, that shouldn't be allowed to be used.
You know,
period.
That was a major point that was made at the DEC meeting, was just what you said. It was about product stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And the fact that, well, some of these plastics at one point may have been, you know, they may have had a market. And again, I don't want to say recyclable because they are recyclable,
right,
but you got to have a market to do it. But there may have been a market at one time, but that market has disappeared. And maybe we ought to be pressuring the manufacturers that are using these packages to change the type of plastic that they're using. Something that is market driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Laura,
well,
Laura was next.
Oh,
sorry.
No, that's okay. No.
Well, it's very quick. I mean, basically, if there's no market for this, this is essentially styrofoam.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do stuff with styrofoam. It's just too expensive to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what you're saying is that these things have entered the
same
realm.
Styrofoam.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I know somebody in the western part of the state that bought a baler for styrofoam, and they started baling styrofoam, and they haven't been able to move one pail yet.
I talked to them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but not food service, right?
No.
Like TV packaging kind of stuff? Yeah.
I talked to them after Ken brought it up. I called them.
They haven't been able to move. Maybe that was
I ran the numbers with her. I said, it's going to take you 2 years
get
one pail.
So Laura, then Joe.
Yeah, as far as, you know, going back with the history of the agency, I do understand that the haulers had asked that you go from dual stream to single stream. But the executive director before you did allow that. Rockland County did not. I don't know if that actually helps them with their marketing, because overall the markets have tanked.
Actually, Rockland, New York City, and Westchester are not having a problem.
Okay.
And we're not having a problem either, the dual stream people. The dual stream people are having problems.
Okay, even though you're not taking anything but bottles, jugs, and tubs. You're not
taking
clamshells or black plastic.
We've never taken clamshells.
Okay.
And we've never taken black
plastic.
Even if
they're a one or a five.
Well, I can't distinguish it. I don't have optimal sorters in the place, right? So if, in order for me to do this, I'd have to stop the line. And you realize, I mean, there's 20 tons of material on the floor.
How much?
I'd have to pick through and look at it.
It's a 16-year-old facility.
How much would the machinery cost to be able to?
You'd probably talk with upwards of maybe $750,000.
Which is 50% reimbursable under capital.
Right,
so
maybe we should talk about that too.
Yeah, I think it would be important.
But it would be more than that, though, because then you'd have to get more bins. You'd have to actually expand the building. Because now you're going to have more bins with awful sorters.
Yep.
I know when we looked at switching over to single stream, it was about a $2 million cost, and that was 8 years ago, something like that.
So that would be simple.
But you wouldn't want to switch over to single stream. We'd be the laughing stock.
So there's an issue that I think has probably already been brought up, but just the fact that we didn't know, that's a big part of this. Even I'd like to hear options more often, and I think we got to also be careful that whatever we're going to make some big decisions, whether it's this group of legislators or the next one, are going to be a part of. I mean, we have Gus coming down the line, and we're either going to be shooting that down or running with it. Either way, we're talking about how we made some really bad decisions between and a lot of areas did between dual stream, and it was completely behind the scenes. What was really driving it was haulers, which is money, big money.
But that's
driving, and they got it. A lot of environmentalists behind that, and there's still a lot of environmentalists that think, or self-proclaimed environmentalists that think that's the most environmental way to do it.
Sure.
So that's been frustrating early on as a legislator with this conversation, that we have somebody as capable, and I really think you don't have an agenda, which I really appreciate. And there's just so we got so many things to go through. And we got to make sure that the decisions we're making are decisions for 20 and 30 years from now. No amount of money scares me as far as we can go. I mean, we're spending millions on trails. Perhaps we should start thinking about curtailing some of the things we're doing. Maybe some of the economic development in this county should be curtailed, and we should be taking that money along with bonds and grants and going and making big decisions that make sense. 10 or 15 years from now, there's going to be a lot of counties that are looking to certain counties and going, geez, if we would have done that, we'd be in a lot better shape now. But to do that now is going to be nearly impossible. And, you know, I don't know. There's so many things to process. It's been a little frustrating, but we got to do a better job. And I know that's not your job, but we got to do a better job. Like Tracy says, when Tracy does it, when Tracy's putting that in the recycling, that means every single person in the county is putting that in the recycling.
This is three different kinds of plastic.
There's a lot of people. There are a lot of small businesses that are putting food in those containers and feeling very good environmentally about it. And if they even knew, they would be looking for other alternatives without us even driving it. But I do think that's the next conversation we got to have, is
how to
deter this. Or how to at least get, at the very least, how to get the word out there, which is another thing I think we had discussed PSAs way long ago. If there's a reason to have a PSA, it's with some of these recycling conversations, because, like, I mean, you pointed out, three legislators at the table don't even realize it, and it's like a lot, and that adds up to quite a bit.
If I can just be clear, though, it depends on who your hauler is. So if you're talking about businesses, okay. Some of the businesses can put that in the recycling because it's going to a facility that can handle it. I'm just talking about the town transfer stations.
Yeah.
My facility can't handle it. So that's something we can do. So,
what do you think the percentage of Ulster County recyclables going through town facilities, the RA, or going to another private facility? What do you think the breakdown is?
I'm going to guess.
I'm going to guess probably...
We probably get 20%.
Oh, really? And what about the
other 80%? We use the county.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's the big haulers. We don't get we get the towns, and we get.
But we have no idea what they're doing with it.
Yeah, that's what I was just
saying. It could end up in a place where they're going to recycle it.
I know where the big haulers are taking. Yeah. A lot of them are taking it down to Beacon.
And they process it.
Yes.
All of it. So no matter what number it has a market.
Some of it. If they have the optical sorters, they can take some of it out and they can find a market. But they're dealing with, you understand, I'm a David, all right? You're talking about Goliath, mm-hmm. all right? You're talking about companies that have a nationwide presence. So they've got the infrastructure throughout the entire nation. Again, please don't lose fact. This is all about the markets, okay? So you have to think like an economist, okay? You have to think that way. There are a lot of people that I meet in my travels working in this realm that are set on recycling, but if they don't understand the markets, and if you don't understand the markets, you can't do the recycling, because the recycling doesn't work without the markets. So it's hand in hand. And then I'll give you a perfect example. Something that was said at the DEC meeting, that the DEC actually said, which I hadn't heard at any conferences or anywhere else, is the DEC, I think it was the deputy commissioner, said, well, in our research, we're finding out about half the states in the United States are not having the issue of the China problem. The other half of the states are. And the reason is, I don't want to sound political, but the reason is, he said, the states in the South and the Midwest are faring very well during these times. And why? They have a lot of manufacturing. So they're keeping everything in-house. It's being recycled within the state. They're building cars. They're building tractors. They're building whatever they're building, motorhomes. You know, fine. Mm-hmm. They have manufacturing sites that they can recycle within the state, turning into new products, and then build it. New York State doesn't have that. I don't want to sound political, but we're not business friendly here. All right. So businesses, we don't have manufacturers here. You know.
Manor was next,
then Brian, then Tracy. But we'll go like 10 more minutes on this conversation and just move forward, because Brian has to leave, and then we can go jump back in.
So if I can just finish up with one thought, New York State relies heavily on export. And that's what DEC was saying. The states that have to rely on export that don't have the manufacturing. And there are states that are self-sufficient that don't need to bring the recycling in because they've already got it there, which is what China's doing right now. They're doing it exactly like some of these states are, where they're building it up, they're ramping up their product and the recycling. And within, like I said, within 2021, 2022 is what the experts are saying. They're not going to be accepting any more recycling because they're going to be self-sufficient at that point. They won't need to. So.
Okay, Vanna?
Just a couple quick things. It seems to me that rather than stopping the line, if there can just be another container, let it all drop down, and then do a slow sort for those, you know, that might be a way of handling it. It's just an idea. I want to just say that in Dutchess, I work in Dutchess, and we do dual stream, and nobody seems to, at curbside, you know, the hauler comes by, and he gets the garbage, and he gets cardboard, all other paper, and all other, you know, the commingled. And nobody seems to have a concern about it. So I think, you know, this will all come out. And then the third thing I wanted to say is I really think, you know, statewide would be ideal, but if we can get our own Office of Economic Development to start thinking of incentives for manufacturing with whatever, if there's a product that if we had a manufacturing facility could stay in use, because packaging is so diverse. I mean, we really probably need to simplify packaging, period. Up until recently, it's been whatever you could think up and produce and market, but then it created such a problem. So I would like to see us really, you know, it's the next step over what, I forget who said it, but the idea of really incentivizing manufacturing from recycled feedstock in Ulster County. Some kind of incentives, pilot, whatever else we can come up with. I think, you know, if we can get this information over to EDA or Economic Development, that might start a process that would help solve a problem in New York State.
That's it. Yeah. Brian?
Thank you. Unquestionably, the county does have a role in playing of education and outreach. Mm-hmm. But to the point that was made earlier, I believe that the RRA should be the lead on the education outreach in Ulster County, not necessarily the county. The county, of course, can support the efforts of the RRA, but I believe it's the RRA that should be charged with the education and outreach to the residents of Ulster County. They should be the lead in that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
I agree.
Okay, and I'll be honest with you. I've looked at a lot of other counties, Onondaga for one, and I would like to see, I'd be happy to see the RRA follow their example of the level of outreach that they conduct and try to strive towards that kind of level of outreach to the citizens of the county, because I believe it's the RRA should be out there promoting this with PSAs and education, school education, going outreach to employers and down the line.
We visit schools.
Mm-hmm.
We conduct tours. Matter of fact, I was on the phone today with the school head of the county that wants to come into the facility. We conduct a lot of tours, not only for the schools, but for the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. I was on the radio this morning for a half-hour talk on the radio about recycling, what can be recycled, what can't. We run radio advertisements. We do billboards. We do a lot of outreach. And to compare us to Onondaga County,
proportionally.
I'm
talking proportionally.
Huge.
I know, but proportionally.
They have a lot of, they have 100 some odd employees.
Again, the key word is proportionally, Tim.
Yeah.
Proportionally at their level.
We do a lot.
Okay, well, I've been looking to see it, Tim, with all due respect. As far as things in the mail, emails to presence in the Kingston Times.
I'm a recycling coordinator right now, too, is what's me.
I think rather than the county being the lead, that should be the RA, and the county, we should be supportive of your efforts.
Yeah.
Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, I began my comments basically saying the same, just that I'd like to see, and this committee, reflecting this committee's desire to see more education efforts come out of the agency. I mean, I've been here long enough that I know the history and the difficulty with which you keep these super tight finances
so as to not have a net service fee, and I get that, but I think that, I mean, I really think you'd have the support of a more aggressive education campaign, which means money. I mean, there's no question that you do a great job with what you have, but $25,000 I think is in that line, and it's just, it's a meager amount for what we're trying to deal with. The second thing is to Joe's comment, which something we've circled around here over and over, whether it's about the final disposition of solid waste or these longer term issues. I really think we're almost past that critical point where we really have to ideally have a sit down, depending on what happens with Gus, with the agency and the agency board, and talk about what we're going to do, what the next move is for, in order to have self-reliance in the long term, knowing what we're facing. And then the last little comment, because I know we want to wrap this up, is aluminum. So I'm hearing mixed things about aluminum. The aluminum containers, not the, you know, like those, the ones that look round.
The pie tins.
The pie tins, exactly. Right. And aluminum foil, if it's clean, do you accept that?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good to know, because that's a recyclable.
Foil, though, when you put it in there, make sure you ball it up.
Yep.
Don't throw it in there because it's going to get tangled
in all
up.
Little pieces. Right. Ball it up.
Ball it up really
But those
tight,
tins, so. If you clean them really well, they're they're fine.
Actually, I have an eddy current system that takes the removes those.
Well, that's great, and to your point about educating the businesses about choices that they have that are actually recyclable versus not recyclable with the new polystyrene. That's good for people to know too.
A big issue, if you want to hear about a big issue.
Do you mind just putting that on hold for 1 second?
Oh, sure.
Just so we can just move up through a couple of things and then...
Oh, sure.
Because we're just in a time crunch with Brian, but to hold that thought, don't lose
okay.
it. Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the minutes from September 6th?
Oh, I'm sorry, you also have the minutes from September 27th. I printed out the
wrong... Two sets of minutes, right?
Yeah, there's
two sets of minutes, okay.
We got it.
Okay.
I'll second.
Should we move together? Or just move?
That's fine.
We'll move together. Okay. Does anybody have any changes or we're good with the minutes? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried. Okay. So we have resolution number 382, appointing members to Recycling Oversight Committee. I need someone to move it.
I'll move.
Second?
I'll second it for the purpose
okay,
of discussion.
Okay. In discussion?
So, wait, I have to pull it up. So, hang on, I need to see it. Steve Nolan.
We're still doing interviews tonight, right?
Yeah, I feel like
there's
we're not.
There's one interview tonight.
Yeah, I feel like we should. I feel like we should hold this. I want to look at this collectively. I feel like we should hold this until the next interviews and until we're looking at everything. I'm concerned about geographic diversity. I do want to talk about the possibility of a special meeting, which I don't want to put the cart before the horse, not necessarily, not for this issue, but we could have the next interviews at that special meeting if that worked.
Yeah.
So can we go out of order and then come back to this one?
Sure. Also, Ryan Goodwin sent his apologies. He had an emergency meeting in Utica with his company today, so he will not be
here
tonight.
He's the seductor.
So he has to,
yeah,
to
so
reschedule, yeah.
See him too.
And you okay. have multifamily dwelling interest, TBD. Are any of your applicants
yeah.
fit into
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should
we be here tonight? Or was
she
no, we
saw
she was
here, yeah.
I'm comfortable.
She was the first
I'm comfortable
interview
moving,
we had that night.
Unless we have somebody else, I'd be comfortable moving her. But I think that we should
yeah.
look at everybody we have and see where everybody is. You know,
yes.
I think we need to make sure. It concerns me that potentially right now we have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, how many? 5 or 6 from Kingston,
right.
out of 11.
Right.
It's not. It just doesn't represent geographic diversity at all. So,
I haven't gotten any other applications from anybody, so I would just encourage people
I'm
from.
I'm going to get you one.
I have three.
Encourage
yeah, so
they need to go on to Acela on the webpage and fill out an application. We can bring it to you. I'll schedule appointments, but we don't have any applicants.
Yep.
I'm
we can't.
From the
tonight.
Hall or two
Where's yours from?
Sorry. John Schoonmaker.
Okay.
Oh, he came. He knew all about everything. He said,
he came to us a few years ago. Yeah, he's a young guy, right? Who was that?
John Screenmaker.
He came.
Oh, he's on the town board.
Yep.
He's very interested in the green business challenge, but
if he's on the town board, you'll have to discuss to see if he can do it.
Even at large.
If they meet one of the other criteria. And the one of the other criteria is from the town?
Somebody with an environmental background, that was the one I was going to put him onto. Or he could fill a town.
We already have a supervisor.
He's just a town board member. Yeah. He's not a member of the supervisor.
Nice representation.
It would have to be at large. That's right. I just think this is going to take a little. I think we need to sit down with all the pieces and then have a discussion. I would move that we hold this until, ideally, until a special meeting. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, some of them get approved this month, but I don't know how else to handle it. If anybody else has suggestions. Well,
do you have a majority with the folks that we are interested in? With the town supervisor and
two,
other
environmental four, committee?
Go back
five. You have five.
And we should have six, so.
Six if you have the multifamily dwelling interest.
But both Brian and the multifamily dwelling are from Kingston also. So it's like we need to really sit down with everybody, I think.
Well, the multifamily was more than just Kingston, right?
She's from Kingston.
She is, yeah, but she covers all of the
multifamily dwellings outside of Kingston.
So we're going
to
have
the mayor and the legislator from
the city of Kingston. We're going
to
do that.
Well, since the legislators from the city of Kingston submitted the letter to have this committee reorganized, I think it's totally fitting and proper.
We need to get the
because the letter was submitted. That's
because we made the request. We requested that this committee be reconvened.
With all due respect, we have been talking about this for
But the delegation from Kingston.
But I'm talking about it from a proper, a fair standpoint and getting, you know, I'm not saying that you guys didn't ask for it. That doesn't make me, just because you asked for it doesn't make me say, oh, well, you asked for it, then go ahead. I think it's really...
And the fact that the city of Kingston is going to be the most impacted by the future.
It's not just that you're...
Excuse me, I was just responding. The city of Kingston residents are going to be the most impacted by the near decisions that are going to be made and have already been made as it relates to recycling. Impacted both economically and environmentally. So.
I'll double down and say that it's just improper to have two people.
Improper is the wrong
word. Brian, I'm talking now. Okay, good.
Okay.
The issue I have is there's some big decisions coming down the line when it comes to the RRA and these other things. And like you said, the people of the city of Kingston, but more importantly, the city of Kingston budget could be very affected by this.
Correct.
The city of Kingston may be asking for things for the reason of affecting their budget, and to have two of the highest ranking political officials from the city of Kingston, I find to be something that we should look to avoid. Brian, it's not easy to say these things sometimes, but it's true.
It's,
I'm representing 8,000 people in Saugerties who, and what I'm trying to get to them is fairness and a well-rounded committee, okay? I know you're getting a little defensive, but look at it from my standpoint.
I'm being attacked.
I'll let
All right, Tracy?
Yeah, so, I mean, I for me, it's not strictly a problem of the twoest high ranking, but I know that the idea of having Kingston represented was the reason that there's number two, City of Kingston. That's why it was specifically set out so the City of Kingston would be represented. I definitely feel uncomfortable with 6 out of 11 being from Kingston, whether they're village, city, whatever, 6 out of 11 being from Kingston. It's a problem. So rather than get into the weeds, which I do think we have to have that discussion about whether it should be Brian and Steve because of their roles, I think I would like to advocate for seeing all applicants and where they're from and making a diplomatic inform. You may still end up having that problem with the two of them being represented, and I think we can speak about it and have it not be an attack, have it be...
Right.
Because I respectfully, Brian, I do think... I think it's overstated to say Kingston's going to be the most affected. What this committee is set to look at is something that's countywide. And when you say Kingston's going to be the most affected, it gives me more pause rather than less.
Let me finish, because
then it becomes very territorial. This, in an ideal, should every member on this committee should be there looking out for the good of the county as a whole, not any individual territory. But it is meant to represent and to bring together very diverse viewpoints, which is why Kingston is singled out as separate from the Supervisors Association, which the city of Kingston has a membership on the Supervisors Association. But in your wisdom, when this was first written, you said, well, Kingston has to be specifically represented, and that's what's happening. So I'm not ready to move until I see what the full picture of the 11 makeup is.
And I could say, regarding the makeup of the 11, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all as far as you want to see a proportionally represented committee. Mm-hmm. I agree. The difficulty is, though, when we only get a few applicants, right now there's four applicants for three positions as it comes down to now. We only have one applicant for the other position as far as the multifamily.
Yeah.
So that presents difficulty. So at some point, do we just remain in neutral because we can't get other people to apply from other regions of the county?
I hear you.
Yeah, okay, so I don't disagree with you about having a well-proportioned representation from various areas of the county. In fact, I think believe you're quite right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, and I'm not asking to hold it too
long.
And
then we did establish earlier, a little earlier, but as when we talked about the recycling, the single stream discussion in that, is that the city, while the city will be going dual stream, we're tracking towards that mm-hmm. now as we speak, the remainder of the county, the majority of the other county recycling throughout outside the city of Kingston will still remain to be single stream, including the county facilities, the ones we're sitting in tonight.
So because of the private hole, you mean?
I'm just pointing out that the city of Kingston, when we go dual stream, we send our materials to the RRA in a dual stream capacity manner. As soon as we can get to that. Don't think we've solved. Either we're looking to solve the single stream issues in the county, or we're just looking to do it for economic reasons to protect the RRA. What's the goal here, okay?
Well, I think it's bigger than the single stream. I mean, that's what I'm saying. This charge is bigger than solving this one issue, and I think it's a
But that's
it's a
the one we're
holistic.
Looking at. That's the immediate concern.
One of them. I mean, and it's complex. I think it's much more complex than just the issue of single versus dual, which seems like an overtly obvious answer. It has to do with recycling as it relates to achieving waste reduction goals, mm-hmm. and how those two things intermingle is a very complicated. Mm-hmm. It's a very complicated topic mm-hmm. that is not. And you know, it's something as when I served on that committee with Manna and Laura. And Steve Noble, you know, it's something that I believe that each of us arrived at that table on some level able to put aside. I didn't come with any individual, you know, interests from Gardner, but we're able to think to the good of the county. But this issue has been one over the course of my time in the legislature where people get very territorial and people start to think, you know, as evidenced by the first time we talked about regulating recyclables, it became a very territorial issue for every town, village, city with regard to the dollars that they were making in relation to what they believed we were trying to step on. And the matter of fact is, at some point, sooner or later, we are going to have to think of this holistically on a county wide level, and that's what this committee's aiming to do. So, because I'm going to be asking for a special meeting to discuss the budget and the Department of the Environment, which we'll get to in a minute, I'm hopeful that we can do this in a time that we'll still have it in time for our legislative meeting.
Right, right.
That would be ideal, sure. Or at least where we could move a portion
of
it. So
just real quick on the same topic, I heard three arguments. One is we put in the application. The second was we asked for this. And the third now was there's not enough people. I would just like to point out that now that I'm putting John Schoonmaker up, and he was the third or fourth person I talked to because he was on the town board, even though I think it's not that big of a deal, I really didn't like the idea of having too many people from representing an area for that reason, because it's inevitable. It's your job for it to be territorial. When we walked through the RRA, I actually thought that was great. You know, I like that sometimes where something affects your district more and you got to go fight for it. So when Lynn Eckert and you were you know, really asking tough questions about these decisions, you were right lined up with the mayor and his feelings, and that's the way it should be in that particular situation. But when it comes to this committee that we're putting together, board, whatever, I think it's really improper to put more than one person from an area. And if we're having problems filling it up, the one easy thing, the easiest thing to replace is we got 23 legislators to choose from. And I know maybe no one else went.
No, we only have five.
Oh, it's got to be from this committee. Oh, okay. So we still have three others.
Four.
Yeah, but not if I'm, well, Mary's from Sawgreaves as well. And I really would like to avoid.
Well, right. That's true.
If John ends up being the person from Sawgreeves, it's just
there's inevitably
going to be things that affect Sawgreeves different than other things, and that's not the place for this board. So I think that it should be one of the other.
And I think we also have to remember though that they're not really they're making recommendations and not.
I mean, you might as well just have a doppelganger of the mayor. I mean, you guys are going to be on the same page on everything with good reason, because it affects you both the same way.
I would ask you not to always make that assumption.
Yeah,
that's a mischaracterization. That's an assumption that I don't think is correct.
Do you disagree with the mayor on anything environmental? Anyways, I've seen it. And that's a good thing. Look, you did your job, but now to go and lobby for the city of Kingston on this committee is not your job anymore.
Right.
Am I to understand that we're going to have 11? The goal is to have 11 members from 11 different communities in the city. Is that your goal?
No, the goal will probably be less than 50% from Kingston, and not to have more than two people from political figures from a certain territory.
Well,
that would be a simple goal, Brian.
Agree with
reasonable.
I'll agree with the first half of your statement.
Because the second half affects you.
Excuse me. Wow, so argumentative. I don't know how I could have said it clearer before.
Proportionally, I agree.
The proportions should be represent, and that then the key to achieving that, as I see it, at this where we sit tonight, is getting more applicants.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully support that. Yeah. Make no mistake.
So where we're at right now, it sounds like, is setting a special meeting, and including. More interviews and applicants and have it on the agenda. So we can see where we're at. And we'll look at the calendar now.
Or we can wait. I mean, well, we can look at the calendar now. Because meeting space is limited.
Yeah.
So do you want me to talk about what I want to have the...
Yeah.
What I'd like to propose just coming out of Ways and Means, this is not on this subject, but on the special meeting subject, is that we ask that Mary ask the Department of the Environment, because that's a department that reports to us, that the Department of the Environment come to a meeting, a special meeting, because we don't want to wait till November. The budget came out today with their budget, and just go through the budget with us in pretty great detail to explain what are the programs they're working on, what are the priorities in their budget, what are the personnel in their budget, and what do they do. I think it's one, critical for us to educate ourselves, because we have to vote on the budget, and we have oversight over that department in terms of their reporting to us. And two, I think it's important in case we have anything we want to advocate for on their behalf, or that we have questions with regard to them. So, and I also think it'll
it'll speak to us throughout the year. If we've actually gotten to have a good understanding of their budget and what they're proposing to do, we'll be able to ask questions about benchmarks and whether or not they're achieving what they're planning on doing. So I'm sure we'll be able to coordinate it with Mary reaching out to the department, but I'd like to propose that we do it sooner than later, because if we wait to November, we're ready in the beginning of the budget hearings, both public and budget analysts hearings. So the sooner we get a hearing.
A lot of time.
Yeah, so ideally in the next two weeks.
If you want to have a meeting before
we're gonna have to check this with
you vote on, do you want to schedule interviews that night as well?
I feel like it's a good opportunity, but that's up to Mary.
Since we're going to be here, we should be as, you know, fit as much in as we can. It's
we'll just have
I know
to
it's
notice
hard for us
for
to
both.
To
I mean,
do yeah, a so second meeting anyway to do a something else we really want to try.
So
to.
It looks like this library is available because we are limited with space, so things we're filling up. The 10th and the 11th of next week. That would get you the meeting before the
we
caucus.
Do maybe do an email with the times and try
yeah.
to figure out like a
yeah because I don't
they call
forgot
that,
my calendar
like a
coordinate
yeah because I don't have my calendar with me and I
so the 10th just so you know the 10th at 4:30
is the family
the
court
family
tour.
Court.
Oh, is that at 4:30? Okay.
Yeah, so the 10th is great for me because I would have to be on that, and probably a group of us will be on that. So maybe we can talk about that.
Of course, I don't know when Amanda's going to be available.
Right,
too,
we'll have to check with her.
But should I shoot for something on the 10th?
Does it look like the 10th would possibly work?
Without your calendar?
I just said before, yeah. I don't have my calendar with me. I know I have some things next week I can't speak
yeah.
to it right now. But
yeah.
I don't want to say yes and be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. What day of the week is it?
10th is
Wednesday.
A Wednesday.
All right, I'll send it out in an email
yeah.
tomorrow.
And for me, just
I
so you know,
Heidi,
because I do have
Brian,
the 11th is a possibility,
Heidi,
but less good.
Wednesday.
What did you say?
That is
okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
What meeting's Wednesday?
What time is that?
It is at 5:30. 5:30 to 7:30.
Oh.
Oh, there's right. a
we have something.
No,
we have an event.
An outside event.
Yeah.
So we can just maybe get a couple choices and see if we
yeah.
can settle on what's best for everybody. Or for
and
the most
reach out to Amanda as well.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I
yeah.
think it all begins with her.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it
her event.
Right.
Well,
right.
I think it
right.
all hinges on that, right?
Right.
It does.
And then you mentioned that you had a couple of people that might
yeah.
be interested. So have them go to the website and do that, and awesome. Then you'll have.
If they have any problems, tell them,
John.
As well.
Yeah.
If people have any
yeah.
trouble with the website, because it's not particularly, there's a couple little tricks, like
yeah.
you click that you want to apply, let's say, for the at-large position, and so it changes the way that looks, but then you have to go back up to the top and then apply here, you know, apply now. So you have to, it's a little
okay.
tricky. So I've been sending people pictures of what to do.
So I can send them your phone number and email address at the same time?
Yeah.
I have three that all have expressed interest, and I didn't send them the information yet.
Yeah.
So I can do that.
I want to say that my biggest concern from the people that we've interviewed so far is that we really need people that understand recycling and markets and, you know, when we were on it, we all had a lot of background.
Right.
And from what I can see right now, there's going to be a very steep learning curve for most of these folks,
from
maybe
the
not all.
We have, yeah.
Two out of the three that are interested that I know have worked in recycling facilities, have extensive experience.
Well, that's Joe
Davis.
You hear
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
yeah. So I mean, you know, I don't know that you've seen the resumes or anything, but just from the interview.
All right, so we have to decide. So as far as the...
you could take no action right now.
That's what I was going to say. We'll just
yeah.
take no action.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fine with that.
And, okay,
the resolution
so... Okay, sorry.
And the minutes are under there, too, but...
Okay.
Pass them around.
Yes, yep.
So we'll move on to resolution 400, adopting proposed local law number 20 of 2018, a local law requiring restaurants and fast food service establishments provide plastic beverage straws solely upon request. Move it.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second?
I'll second it.
Discussion?
I have something.
What's that?
I would like to go say ahead, something. Go ahead, I've been thinking about this for the last month. I don't know if all of you got the copy of the article that I was sent around, the New York Times article, as it related to the number of straws that are cited in the resolution that are used each day.
I think it was pretty much
debunked it. In fact, the young man who the youngster who wrote the Milo Kress is actually surprised that they're using his report. Like you're kidding. That's the standard. So I will say this: if somehow this resolution can be amended to take out a specific number like that and be amended to like a large quantity of straws or an unacceptable quantity of straws, I this is something I could. That's one step towards me maybe being the yes vote on this. The second vote, the second thing I would like to see is it's called passive distribution. For instance, in McDonald's or and the Quick Check, where there's a box of straws by the drink fountain. If that's there, could that qualify as the consumer making a conscious choice to take a straw, and that absolves the business holder from having to verbally ask? So those are the two things. If somehow that something like that could be in there, I could probably support this. And the only little thing I will say, though, as if it isn't fun enough to be working at a drive-through window, I just can imagine the cascade of sarcasm that comes the way of the person working there every time she asks a person going through a drive-through, "Do you want a straw?" I can see the customers being sarcastic, of them getting flooded with a lot of sarcastic answers back to them, like, "No, of course I do. What do you expect me to do with it?" So. I don't know if somehow a drive-through at a fast food establishment can also be the mere fact that a consumer goes through a drive-through. They're pretty much telegraphing that they're going to need that's they're asking for a straw. I just think we need to be mindful and be empathetic of folks who are working for very low pay and in difficult circumstances. I don't think we necessarily need to subject them to. That, if you can imagine, I worked in retail for 10 years, and you'd be surprised some of the sarcasm you get from customers. Yeah. And over again, I just think that could be disheartening to someone working at one of those windows.
Joe?
So, I would just if those three things or two of those three things could be changed, I would be a yes.
So after your not even after that article, mm-hmm. after you initially brought up the number issue, mm-hmm. literally the next day, which is now months ago, I called Vicki and made sure that we were going to change the wording in that from day one, and we were going to use something very generic.
Okay, because it's still in here.
Yeah, and I think I had mentioned that to Vicki on the floor, but if it's not already changed, it will be. And I went through it, and I was under the impression that it was changed. But then I saw that when you sent that article, when I went back and looked, I said, "Oh, it's still in there." And I saw that during the public hearing, so that'll be changed. It was already being changed. It'll be changed.
I am under the impression
that you can put straws out, how certain places do mm-hmm. now. I'm under that impression. I'm going to double check and make sure. And I think that's probably what a lot of places will do. I went to the Roost in Stone Ridge the other day. I stopped in after my son's soccer game. And the waitress came right up and said, "Do you want a straw?" She gave us our drink. She said, "Do you want a straw?" And I said, "No." And I said, "Is that something you guys are doing?" She said, "Yeah." And she says, "Well, I just got the job a couple months ago, but they had just started doing it." And I said, "How many people take the straws out?" She says, "I almost give out no straws." And she acted like she's never had a complaint. Now, that's the edge of Stone Ridge. It's kind of the place. It's going to go over well. The other point is, unfortunate if that does happen, if somebody's going to be rude to somebody because of that. But I will say this. That it's gonna be everywhere, especially the fast food places when it comes to plastic bags. Target and the box stores; those are the ones that are compliant on day one. You know, Wendy's, and especially with everything going on around the country, this is a new conversation that, that Disney and Starbucks are starting to do on their own. So it's not going to be kind of a that weird of a thing. So you're going to be going through McDonald's, Burger King, you're going to be going to the diner. So it's not going to be a shock for them to hear, do you want a straw? And if somebody decides to be rude to somebody because they ask if they want a straw rather than assume and put it in, for every person that's rude, they're going to have 30 people be really nice and say, that's awesome. It's awesome you're doing that. No, I don't want a straw.
Most rude people are just rude.
And it's unfortunate because there probably will be. Somebody probably is going to be rude here and there to these people working at, in the drive-thru. And that I can't avoid.
How crazy. So, I was just going to say it has not been amended in the final.
Oh, okay.
So
I'll
we could amend it here. We could. Well, Tracy, you can amend it, right?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't have the exact words off the top of my head, but millions. A large quantity.
I would just say you can take
up even write unacceptably large quantity. Yes, but I just think I think it's important if we have resolutions that cite specifics, that those specifics really ought to be accurate and verifiably accurate. So if you, like I said,
I did not put that. That was not my. When you talk to the lawyer and then Vicky kind of crafts it up, that was something that ended up in there. But I was willing, right when you first brought it up, I was totally willing to pull that out. That had nothing to do with the structure of the legislation. It was just a whereas.
Yeah, I wondered. I'm okay with the first two, including the box of straws. They want the straws there, and people want to take them, then that is, as far as I'm concerned, an action, a decision on their part. As far as the drive-through, I now go through the drive-throughs. I never used to eat junk food, but I have such a busy life that I get veggie burgers, I'll admit it, at Burger King. But going through the drive-throughs, I say ahead of time, I don't want a bag. I don't order a drink that would have a straw to begin with. But they are fine with it. I think if somebody is sarcastic, they're going to be sarcastic the first time, but then when it just becomes part of the routine, do you want a straw, then, I don't think that it would persist. I think it might be a little temporary thing to get over. So I would not want to exclude the drive-thrus. I think that's almost exactly where, and I keep a reusable straw in my car.
So Tracy and then Brian, because Tracy is waiting.
I think changing the definition, changing the preamble, whatever you call it, it's fine. Finding. And probably to make it, to be accurate, I take your point for sure. I'm not sure about how I feel about the passive box thing. I mean, part of what I think is, and I'm also not sure that this law as written allows for it. I think you'd have to ask it, because it does say shall ask, and I feel like the common understanding of ask is an overt action on the part of the person asking, not a passive action on the part of the person taking. Yeah, so we should get clarification, but I do want to add that I'm not sure how I feel about the passive action, because I think part of what makes it this powerful is that it's not prohibiting the use, but it is requiring the conversation on a regular basis. So as a business owner, you could make the decision that I'm not going to offer straws at all unless someone asks. So I'm not asking. Or if I want to offer, if I plan on putting it in, I have to ask you if you want it. And that makes you think about whether or not you really need it, versus having a box out and then having to monitor how quickly. Maybe people take 10 straws because they figure, well, I'll just take some extra, you know what I mean? Or stick two in, or I don't know. I just, I know what you're going for, but I think that this is, I think it's already, a kind of a first step versus the prohibition of straws, which would require some much more careful thought about who and what would be exempted. Yeah. So I think that your experience, Joe, at that restaurant you referenced is gonna, I hope, but I believe too, is gonna in large part be a broad experience. I think when people are asked, so often now I get straws, I have to do, like, man, I have to remember to say in advance, I don't want a straw, because otherwise I get straws in my water. I don't know when that happened. I mean, until being my age, this far along in life, I never drank my water out of a straw, so why would you think I need it in my water glass at a restaurant? It's a weird thing.
You
really
throw it on the table, it gets wet.
And then, and once they give it to you, they have to throw it out.
Yeah, it's finished.
So,
yeah, so.
And Kathy, and then I have something really quick to say, and then we can vote, because I know...
But you had Brian.
I think I got Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian.
All right, just back, two things. I'll take them in the order that I thought of them. As responding to at least the drive-through circumstance. I believe that would definitely be the case if this was a statewide law. We need to remember that we're doing this here in Ulster County. You
know? Responding to what, the drive-through?
Getting
used to
the
it.
Uses.
Oh.
Okay, as far as, and again, that one's not a deal breaker necessarily, but I'm just looking to protect and shield people who are vulnerable and most often very young and immature working their first job. Mm-hmm. And having worked in retail at a young age, I know the response to customer sarcasm, what it can be, and it can have lasting employment repercussions for anyone too. Just saying, but I think it's just something to consider that these folks are going to be subjected to some reasonable amount of sarcasm. And if it was a statewide or a national circumstance that everybody could turn on their network news and see these stories about that this is now there's a ban in effect or whatever, then it would be less apt for those instances to occur. But the fact that this is in Little Ulster County, where we don't even have very little even homegrown radio to promote things and let things out, and let alone newspapers, which are dwindling. There are folks and people who pass through Ulster County, particularly on the thruway. I'm just looking out for those folks, and I just want to consider them. As far as the passive distribution of straws, I don't know that because it's not a ban, that the larger the locally owned shops are going to, in my opinion, it's almost counter what we did with the bags. The local owned shops, they're going to adjust right away. I don't see Quick Check changing their practice as far as having, because if you go to Quick Check now, or I'm using them as an example. I'll omit the name going forward. But if you go to a shop like that, the fountains for the drinks, the soft drinks, are in the back of the shop. You go to the front of the shop, and you have usually there's a whole battery of registers with only one open now, as opposed to how it used to be when they first opened. And you have a person at that register who's just overwhelmed. So I don't see. I think these are going to leave their, particularly as we, in my opinion, rightfully adjusted down the fines.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a case of he said, she said, or no one said.
Right.
And it's not a ban. So I'm thinking, I think the act of and the industry calls it passive distribution, because there's going to be coffee lids. Other fast food chains, when you get your drink at the fountain station, there's an array of lid sizes that you can choose from. And sometimes it's a great guess trying to match which cup is going to match which lid, because it's, again, a descriptive thing. We've all been there.
Yeah.
So you end up pulling the wrong size. Then you waste just now a plastic lid. Okay? And then you're going to take a straw. So it's just...
I think we all live that every day.
So I just think... I think the passive distribution should be an acceptable, allowable practice. And keep in mind, though, if the goal is to reduce the usage of these items, we're achieving it through this anyway, and education anyway. This isn't something like the bags, which we eliminated. This is something that's still going to be out there, but I think the idea of this is to get people thinking more than thinking then acting more. And if that's good, that is good, I believe. So, again, I'm very empathetic to young people working their first jobs and just being vulnerable to.
Yeah, I actually want to speak on the passive distribution. I will say the first that I had some major reservations about this. I contacted nearly half a dozen restaurants in my district and ask them about it, and they all strongly supported it. So my position has shifted on it. However, one of the speakers at the public hearing, Alex Stiers, from the Olive Store, is in my district. And I think that passive distribution would solve his issue, because he doesn't want his folks to have to be having this particular conversation. They're already have a list of things they have to do. But if he could put the straws over there and put the sign above it that says single, you know, that either has a modification of this sign, or we take out the sign requirement, which also I think makes him a little annoyed. I think there was very strong acceptance of doing this. They just want it made easier. And the passive distribution will really help with that. In terms of the fast food stores, I do think there will be some sarcasm from people, and the clerk has to say, I'm sorry, I have to do that.
It's
now it's required in Ulster County. Yeah, that would be a good way for them to decide.
Send those kids to the liquor store.
Distracted a little bit. But I think they already have to ask things like, do you want sauces? And, you know, so I do think that it is a little bit of a problem, but I don't think we should exempt the fast food stores, because I've stopped using a straw, even when I mostly take a to-go container. But if I buy something there, I now take off the lid and drink it.
Or fold it
and
back.
Yeah, I don't use a straw because I don't want to be part of this anymore. So, part of getting rid of plastic in my life. So passive distribution, I think, would require very little, if any, change. Maybe it could even be something, just a single line statement that, where it says...
I think it would be, C. In Section 3, you'd have to add a C, is my guess.
Yes, C. That passive distribution systems, with or without a sign, will satisfy the requirement to allow the customer to choose to have a straw rather than be given the straw.
So quickly, because I got to run, if I could have just 30 seconds. Can you check with Jordan or the other guy from one of those experts that help us on the plastic bag? Because I'm sure they're pretty up on this type of legislation too. Mm-hmm. If they tell us and they have data to prove it, look, you're going to go, you're cutting in half the amount of straws you're going to deter if you put one of those things out there, mm-hmm. for the reasons you mentioned before. If they say, you know what, it really does work well, even when you're having, was it passive distribution?
Yeah,
that's
what
you guys are calling it. And then at that point, I just assume leave it up to a vote, the same way we did with the restaurant restriction with the plastic bag. Let's leave it up for a vote once we have some data from some people we trust. If everybody's comfortable with that, I certainly am. And just to Brian's point, and Laura can attest to this, anytime I've had conversations with Laura about environmental things, regulations, bans, the first question I always ask Laura is, who is going to be affected negatively? What are they going to say is the reason? So I appreciate that being your go-to as well when you hear about these things, and you've put in a couple of things that have helped make this legislation a little better. But so I'm with you on who's this going to affect, how's it going to affect them negatively. We have to think about that.
And see, and I want to... I'm
getting my son a practice. I'm already late. I'm sorry,
oh, I'm
guys.
So sorry.
I did not realize. I just got a text.
Well, I'll call you to tell you what
sorry.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'll call you. So,
just think, my son hasn't texted me for dinner yet. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. He can't save
you.
He forgot.
It's a perfect save you.
I wouldn't be the first.
I'm not in favor of the timing of this. I just feel like we're moving forward with the plastic bag, that we want to move forward in a really positive way and have people embrace. I'm getting a lot of feedback of, well, now for sugar or plastic bags, now you want to do straws, where people are kind of shutting down, and I want to build on, like we did the styrofoam, and I want to build on the bags, and I kind of feel like the timing is a little off. I would prefer that we did it like a little more education thing. And I also think that maybe, and I don't even know if we could do this, but maybe we could even write a letter to businesses saying that they might want to consider, without having to do it, but consider raising awareness through asking the question. So that's my end goal. Also would be to get rid of the straws, but I'm just kind of feeling like I want it to be embraced. I don't want it to be a negative thing where people are feeling like you just keep, you're taking things away, you're taking things away and stuff. And I really think that once people start using the paper bag, the reusable bags, and bringing their own bags and stuff, they're going to embrace it and be really happy that we did that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure. I think this is just going to kind of, I don't know. So not that I'm against the concept. I'm just kind of having a problem with the timeline of doing it. So
I just thought of something.
Tracy, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So I was just going to say I will follow up what Joe said, you know, and notwithstanding my concern about passive distribution, if that's where this legislation goes and where the bulk of support is, I'll still support it. And I want to say to you, Brian, that similar to what Joe said, I appreciate your very thoughtful deliberation, the way that you approach this and put yourself in someone else's shoes. I mean, I've for many, many years, and certainly as a high school student, but well through college and then beyond, and now even now, I've worked in the food service industry, and I've been on the other end of many a snide comment, and you know, I didn't even, I don't agree with exempting the fast food drive-thrus. I think it's a very astute observation that probably because it's a drive-thru, those people are going to get a bunch of comments, and it never even occurred to me. So I just want to thank you for sharing with us that kind of thinking, because I do think it helps make it to be not only better legislation, but it helps us to be better, more informed legislators as we're moving things forward to really think through things from every possible angle. So thank you for that.
Just had an experience in a restaurant where the waitress was telling me she accidentally gave somebody that said they didn't want put a straw in their shake, and how horribly they berated her for doing that. So it's
both ways.
Where they had an opportunity to educating her. They left her with a bad feeling about the whole thing.
About the passive distribution. Interestingly enough, I just had this thought. Straws never were always wrapped in paper when you went to the stores. Remember they had the container and had the little lever at the bottom? You pressed the lever and one straw came out and it was unwrapped?
Mm-hmm.
In passive distribution, if they put... I can't ever remember using a device like that where I took more than one. But I can remember, I confess, that's on tape, that I have gone to McDonald's and I've pulled out a couple straws for home because I don't want to necessarily wash cups, you know. And so, okay. So no one's going to take a handful of unwrapped straws.
Right.
So maybe put it in passive distribution, the straws can't be wrapped in paper.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It's a public health problem.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't think so, because plastic forks aren't always wrapped in plastic.
They're contained in a that kind of device that where you press the lever and one straw comes out.
But they can't be unwrapped like sitting in an open container.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So people have to now buy a new device.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wanted to follow up on what Mary said and suggest that... at first, when you made that suggestion about the letter, I thought, well, there's, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses. But then I remembered that one of the actions in the Green Business Challenge is reducing single-use plastic, reducing or eliminating single-use plastic. And I wonder if what we could do in the interim is sort of let people know this is coming, but say, you know, in the meantime, would you practice this and give us your feedback? And if you agree to do that, you can be listed as a green business leader because that's one of the actions of the challenge.
Right, right.
And that way, you know...
It's a positive thing.
It's and it gives them... some warning that we're considering this, that we want their feedback, and you know, it might put it off a little bit, but it might sort of buy the time. But also, it would help them feel invested if we asked for their feedback.
Right.
And now, let's say I'm going to make up a number, but 700 restaurants in Ulster County. I'm pulling a number out of the air. It could be way up or way down. And we were able to do that mailing and listed a way to reply, which could just be, you know...
And it could potentially be included in something that's already going out
from
Board of Health or
from
whatever.
The Department
whatever.
Of Health.
Yeah.
Included
so it
in
might
that.
Not have to incur
yeah.
extra expense.
So I think it's worth, you know, exploring that. I personally am ready to go ahead and do this, but I can see the concern, and I want to do it in a way that we know will pass, and if you're reflecting that that your caucus is giving a lot of negative feedback, I don't know if you are, but you know, that's something to think about. But I
haven't had a whole conversation about it, but I would guess that that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. So I think getting input from the restaurants ahead of time would also empower them and make them feel like they're part of the solution. So that's
and our ultimate goal, I think, would be. We would
so
have a better ending.
Are we saying we'll take no action then, this, you think, on this?
I think that's what Joe asked us to do.
Yeah.
We'll wait until we...
You don't even want to do the amendment to that one paragraph yet?
We don't have the language in front
okay,
of us.
Okay, well, Joe kind of came up with it but
oh,
before
did?
We left. But
oh,
if
we
you want to wait.
That right now.
Well,
let's do it comprehensively instead of
yeah.
piecemeal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd also
I'll send. I'll put it in writing and send it out to everybody.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Happy
birthday. Happy birthday. And have the...
We can get a definition for passive distribution.
Yeah. I just want to say on that one of the groups that considers itself a green business leader and has been trying to reduce waste throughout is Bread Alone. We've recognized them. They do passive distribution.
Yeah.
And I didn't talk with them specifically about this, but I
agreed
that
thank
when
you.
They
good
went
night,
to them, their straw use went way, 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 way down. So there may be some local experience with
and
that change.
Also the
as
Mountain
well.
Brow House.
Yes.
They don't have them anymore at all.
They
and you know they're actually doing eliminating single use as best as possible. And I think that and so they've already been awarded a certificate of appreciation and I think that the I got a call today from, I'm sort of blurring into the next, one of the other topics, but I got a call today from Reese Insurance, so proud of their solar system, and, you know, I explained about now they're a green business leader, and they'll get a certificate of appreciation. And it's really when the businesses start hearing from their colleagues, not crunchy, you know, no matter what I do, I'm never going to get rid of the image of being a crunchy granola tree hugger. And so hearing from me is not nearly as effective. So one of the things we might do if we're going to follow this route is get a quote, just like we have a quote from KL. Get a quote from Mountain Brow House, which is not, you know, a health food store or, you know, it's, and so that's,
and maybe
that's
even,
my thought.
Maybe we can even work with the RA or some other group to, like, bring these kind of things into schools to educate the kids, because that's where I got
and
my styrofoam thing.
Get the schools not to
from,
automatically give them.
But also educate the kids so they go home.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing at home is majorly impacted by what the kids bring
say.
Home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I meant to bring it. I got some really fun.
Starting with the early ones as well.
I don't want it to go out indefinitely. I think getting some of this feedback is valuable, and I think it'll lead to more buy-in. Absolutely support this, and I don't want it to be indefinite, but I can understand wanting a little more time, and I've heard that too. You know.
Okay.
I also think it that people are very ready for this.
I do think so too.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I
feel ready. Just to, I mean, again, to restate, I feel ready to move on this. The passive distribution gives me pause. I will reach out to Jordan, but I will defer to what's going to pass with a majority vote, and if that's the way it goes, I'll support it. But I feel like this is a first step. I totally appreciate the point of feeling like things are piling on, but I think it's more because it's a first step, because it's not an outright ban. I think it's just going to start the conversation. I think Brian has highlighted really the particular place it's going to be an issue, and that's in drive-through windows. There's right. No question, because most people are going to think, of course I need a straw. I'm getting a to-go cup,
right.
And I'm driving.
Right. So we just need a motion to go to an executive session.
So we're
going to
take no action on that.
We're not going to take any action, but Tim's still here. He's been waiting for us to finish. Are we going to...
Okay. It's just you having to... I just since our interview is here, I don't know.
No, I agree. I agree to do the interview, but I'm saying...
Do you have a couple minutes? Do you mind?
Yeah, I'm fine.
But I'm saying before the...
No, I know.
Do we have to step out?
No,
perhaps we should introduce Tim.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Tim from the research.
Or we should introduce ourselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Tim Rose is head of the RRA. I'm Fonte Antillo. We've been talking. Mary Burroughs, the chairman.
Hi.
Tracy Bartels.
Hi.
And Manajo Green are both members of the committee.
Manajo and I go way back.
Okay. So do we have anything more for Tim since Tim's
we made him hold his thought.
Oh.
So we want to hear that thought.
Do you remember what the thought was?
Yeah, I had two things I wanted to throw out there. Gus, mm-hmm. where are we with that? Rick McCarthy, I just had... lunch with him the other
day.
He's
the financial person?
Yes, he's from Environmental Capital. He's the one that's writing the study. He was expecting to be done in mid-September, but he didn't get everything back from the counties in an expeditious time frame. So he got everything from us, but he was waiting for some other data. But he did receive that, and he told me this week he should be done sometime this month with it. So and then he's going to do the same thing he did with the Cornerstone did. He's going to do the roadshow with all three counties.
So presentation will probably be maybe November-ish.
I would expect. It would be up to the chairman of the three counties if they want in November or December. So that's where we are with that. This one's a little different because this one's being paid for by the counties, where the Cornerstone study was being paid for by us. So Cornerstone did the presentation for the board. I'm not sure if they're going to do it. I don't know yet if it's going to be a presentation to our board of directors first and then to the three counties. I would sort of assume maybe not, but I have to talk to our chairman because you guys are paying for it, and the RRA is not paying for it. The money's going through
maybe
us.
Maybe they could do a joint
all three
presentation.
Counties are paying, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. The money's going through us, but we're not contributing anything, so therefore.
But maybe they
I
could
know.
Do a joint presentation.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be
I think you're saying it's not appropriate to go to your board
first.
Because it would. Yeah,
right.
I
right.
agree.
So it might
right.
have to go to the counties first.
Right.
And which counties be first, I don't know. It all depends on the schedules. So that's where we
if
are.
If we can
with
just
that.
Be kept apprised of all three of them, not just our county meeting. In case
absolutely,
we
did that last
time.
Yeah.
I'm just asking that we have that same courtesy.
And I really think it would save time to do joint and not, you know, especially if they're going to go to the legislature first, since the county's paying for it.
Joint what?
For the RRA
have
and
the
legislature.
Have the RRA board come when they do that presentation.
Oh.
Not that they, you know, they'll have to have a meeting about it, surely,
about
and
it, but
discuss
yeah.
it and everything, but in terms of doing the presentation, that, and it's always good to have joint meetings, I think.
Build that relationship.
And what
we
was
know.
The other? You
yeah.
had another.
Oh, second.
One other real quick note, one thing, when I was at the conference, I there was a couple of speakers there about landfill space in New York. As well as landfill space in the entire Northeast. And the one presenter talked about that according to their calculations that the entire landfill space in the state of New York will be up in 2039. So you're talking 20 years.
That's amazing.
In the solid waste world, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Another speaker went up and he spoke about landfills and waste energy plants across the whole Northeast. And he talked about how a landfill is just closed in Massachusetts. Another one's going to close in 2022, their last one. And you can expect all that waste is already being pushed into New York. I don't think the first presenter took that into consideration. But he said now what they're seeing is a lot of the waste from Massachusetts, Connecticut, and so forth is not being pushed into New York. So that landfill space could be taken up even sooner than what the other presenters. So after listening to both presenters, I think the second one had a little better handle on what's going on, at least throughout the whole Northeast, because it's fluid. You know, it just doesn't stay within political boundaries. This waste gets shipped back and forth across state boundaries. So I wanted you guys to know that.
That's scary.
And one more thing, I was asked to present at the conference on Gus. Several months ago, they called me and asked me if I'd present to the to all my peers, engineers and executive directors around the state, because they think it's a great idea. I told them, but it's a little premature to do so. I said, because I don't want to present and all of a sudden the thing falls apart. So I said, do me a favor, keep me online for next year. So I talked to the executive director. I'm also on the board of directors for NYSA Swan, but I talked to the executive director who sets this up. And he said, well, he goes, I know you didn't want to do it this year, but can we get you on for next year? I said, well, let's wait to see what happens with Gus. If Gus falls apart, there's no sense in me speaking. But if it does go through, I'd be more than happy talking about the process, what we did with the legislatures and all that sort of stuff. So so that was it.
I'm going to, can I just ask a quick question?
Yes.
So you sent that NYSAR information. Are you going to the NYSAR event? And just a quick question, if we did want to go, do we have to register through you because of the membership, or can anybody go?
Anybody can go. There's two rates. There's a member of NYSAR and a non-member. You'd pay the non-member. You could probably become a member and then sign up as a member right away.
Okay.
I don't know what the fees are. I don't remember. But non-members can go. It's just a little more money.
Okay.
It is a good conference. I normally go to it every year. I will be going to this one. And they're going to be talking a lot about the National Sword.
Yeah, I feel. I mean,
you can't piggyback on your membership.
I know you talked about that in years past. I don't remember how small it is, but I feel like it would be good for a member of this committee. I got to. It drives me crazy they have it during Election Day, but it'd be good for a member of this committee to be there. So we can talk about that more.
Yeah, I'm going to vote before I leave in the morning. My voting vote opens at 6 a.m.
Yeah,
and the conference doesn't start until, actually, that's the pre-conference, by the way.
Yeah, it starts.
They have Tuesday is what they call the pre-conference, and they have some pre-conference things going on, but the actual conference doesn't start until Wednesday.
Okay.
But there may be something on the agenda for the pre-conference.
It's a very exciting agenda, but okay.
All right, so.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank
Sorry
you.
For so long.
No, listen, you've got business to take care of. You've got to do what you got to do.
It's NYSAR cubed, right?
NYSAR cubed, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely, NYSAR cubed. And that stands for, you know, reduce, recycle, and reuse. I got that backwards, and I should know that.
It's late.
It's late, yeah. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Night, thank
we need
you.
A motion for executive session.
Recycle.
I'll make a motion that we go into executive session, and we have to
second.
Say
second.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Why.
Thank you.
You have to say why.
Oh, for the purpose of an interview.
Yeah. Well, when I first came, you guys.
For the oversight committee.
Yes. Okay.
Her resume
so
should be was in with the 27.
Yes. In all favor, aye.
All. Yeah, okay. Let me pause.